Ephesians chapter 4. All right, I'm hoping William was going to be here tonight to listen to this message, because he had a question on something last week, and it's going to come up.
It'll be on the web.
Okay, in depth tonight. All right, verse 24, it says, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Paul's going on to say, put on the new man. Now, in the previous verses, if we recall last week, we saw that Paul said that we should put off certain things. We should put off former conversation or manner of life. The things we did before that we were saved, the places that we used to go, the things that we used to watch. And we're supposed to put off the old man. We all know that we have two natures. We have the old sin nature that is full of what Satan wants us to do and does not love God, but does love the things of this world and the things that Satan stands for. And then we have the new nature, which is the things that happen. Now, the nature which has natural affection to do evil is our old nature. To do these things which are contrary to the Word of God. But now in this verse, it tells us that we need to put on the new man. The new man is regenerated. He is a partaker of divine nature of life. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is the old man makeover. I got a text today from my daughter, and my granddaughter had a makeover. She won a contest, and she was given $10,000 worth of dental work, free. They redid all of her mouth. They put implants in. They took old teeth out. They put all new ivories on and stuff on her teeth. And she looks so much better. Well, that's basically what this is talking about. It's the old man makeover. It's the old man putting on the new. In 1 Corinthians 5:17 it says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. This new man is to be in the image of Christ. Now, we can't be Christ, but we can be Christ-like. Amen?
Amen.
And we should strive to be Christ-like. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I want to talk to you for just a minute about the Colossians 1:27. It talks about there about a mystery. We talked about mysteries other times where God has made foreign or made mysteries things that people don't know. Salvation was one of them. And that's what this is talking about. And it says that the glory of this mystery, speaking of salvation, among the Gentiles. You need to realize that none of us sitting in this room, unless we are Jews, had any hope whatsoever of salvation until Christ died on the cross.
Amen.
We would have had to keep the whole law, just like the Jews did. the Jews no longer could keep the law after the 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, if it was not for Christ dying on the cross. If we, the very moment that we are saved, put off the old filthy man and put on the robe of righteousness, which is in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, why do we still want to live in the old nature? Amen? Let's face it. If we put on the new man, why do we want to live in the old filth of the world? You know, we war each day with what is right and what is wrong. You know, it's like the cartoon characters. Remember the little cartoon characters years ago? There's a little devil on this shoulder and a little angel on this shoulder. And the devil was trying to get him to do things bad, and the angel was trying to get him to do things right. Remember that?
Yep.
Well, that's the same way. You got your old nature, and you got your new nature. You know, there was a guy that had two pit bull dogs. He owned a junkyard, and they were the meanest junkyard dogs you ever saw in your entire life. They were mean. And so this guy said to him, he says, "Let me ask you something. Which one of those two dogs are strongest?" And he looked right at him and he says, "The one I feed the most. The one I feed the most." And you know, that's the way our life is. You know, what nature are we going to feed the most to? Are we going to feed our old nature, which we shouldn't have gotten rid of, or are we going to take and feed the new man by the Word of God?
Amen.
You know, if we would feed the new man, I guarantee we would all live a lot more victorious Christian life. But no, we don't want to. We want to feed the old man because that's what everybody else is doing. Big deal. We need to get rid of the old nature and the things which go with it. You know, keep them completely out of our mind and away from us. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to 29. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." These five verses, Paul tells us what we're not only supposed to put off, but we're also to put on. He says, put away lying, put on truth. Remember, we just talked about putting stuff on. Paul's getting into this a little bit deeper. And he's saying, okay, let's take it, put away lying and put on truth. You know, when we become a Christian, we should no longer lie. We should tell the truth about everything that we do. We should be truthful in all doing. You know, there's two people that I cannot stand in life. Liars and thieves. You know, I have no place whatsoever for liars or thieves. And that goes as students. And, you know, I'll take anybody, they'll tell me the truth. But you lie to me, and I'll tell you what, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Then it goes on. We can be angry, but sin not. You know, when we are angry, we should not sin. We should control our temper. By controlling our temper, we're going to be at peace with God and others. When we do get angry at someone, don't go to bed, patch it up before that. Amen? Especially if it's your spouse.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing worse than laying in bed, trying to sleep, having bad thoughts about somebody. You know what I mean? Have you ever been there, done that? I have. Years ago, I used to sleep on the couch quite a bit. But I got smart. You know how I got smart? I decided that my side of the bed was more comfortable than what that couch was, and I decided that it's better to patch things up than have to sleep on the couch. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to take and make sure that we have things patched up before we go to bed. You know, if we go to bed angry, you know, we give place to the devil. He'll put evil thoughts in our minds as to how we can get even or do something to the person who made us angry. You know, if I could only get rid of them, you know, my life would be a whole lot better. Amen? You know what I mean? I'll tell you what. Satan will take and bring up all kinds of things to try to get you down. You know, we're not to steal, but to let him labor. You know, we should not rob anything from anyone, including God. We should labor with our hands and pay for what we get.
Amen.
You know, I had a guy one time, he was out here, and he stole something. And I said to him, I said, why did you do that? Well, what is it? I said, why didn't you buy it from me? I didn't have any money. I said, why didn't you ask for it? Well, it was just easy to take it. I said, good. Now, I said, you get over here. And I said, I've got some work for you. What?
God.
I said, you're going to bring that back, and you're going to work for it. So he brought it back, set it down. I had him pulling weeds for 2 days. He got all done. He said, now, can I have it? I said, no. He goes, why not? I said, I just sold it. He says, but you were making me work. I said, no, I was making you work because you stole it. There wasn't too awful long ago, we had a little boy come in, and he had he took coffee, and he spread coffee all over underneath the awning. I mean, it was atrocious. He must have taken 5 pounds of coffee and spread it all underneath that awning. Good coffee too. It was really good coffee. It really made me mad. So I got it on the camera and I called the police. The police came. I said, do you know this little kid? And they said, yeah. I said, you find him, you bring him over here. He said, okay. So he went, he knew right where the little kid was, went over, got him, put him in the back of the squad car, put him in handcuffs, brought him over here. The little kid was just bawling his eyes out. Oh, man, he was crying. I looked at him and I said, what did you do this for? I didn't do it. So I brought him in the office and I turned on the camera and I said, is that you? Face this big in the screen. He goes, yeah, David. You know what I'm talking about?
I knew that's exactly
what he knows exactly what I'm talking about. I said, is that you? Yeah. I said, is that you spreading all that coffee around? Yeah, but I didn't mean to. Police officer says, what do you want me to do with it? I said, I want him to clean it up. It was about 100 degrees outside. Oh, it was hot that day. And he said, today? I said, right now. I said, when he did it, it was 100 degrees yesterday. I said, 100 degrees, he can clean it up. So there he is out there with a broom, and he's sweeping it up, putting it in a dustpan. And he says, do I have to get it out of the cracks too? I said to him, I said, was it in the cracks before you put it there? No. I said, it ain't going to be there when you're done either. Well, how do I get it out of there? So I came inside and got a toothbrush. And there he was on his hands and knees, scraping out all those cracks with a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Police officer says to me, he says, you're going to let him have water, aren't you? I said, I'll give him some water when I'm good and ready to. He's okay. He says, I'm going to leave him up to you. I said, okay, that's no problem. So about an hour later, police officer came back, and there was David on his hands and knees yet, scraping out them cracks with that toothbrush. But you know what? He never came back again.
Did you ever give him the water?
Huh? I gave him water after I drank half of it, but, huh?
Did you do it?
We were short of water that day. But yeah, I gave him water. You know, the Bible says that we need to take and give those in trouble water. So I did. I gave him water. So then he said to me after about 15 minutes, he says, "Is it break time yet?" I said, "Break time? There is no break time." I said, "You're going to work till this is all done." He says, "Well, you're nothing but a slave driver." I said, "Slave driver? I said, you don't know what kind of a man I am." I said, "You're going to find out, though, before you're done."
After how old
is he? He's about 10, maybe, 9, 10 years old. But you know what? He never came back. But listen, what we need to realize is we need to take and teach people how to labor instead of steal. You know, we should not use bad language. You know, when you get saved, put off the old man. We should put on a new language also.
Amen.
You know, we should want to praise instead of curse. You know, we should want to edify or build up others instead of trying to tear them down. You know, there's not one thing that bothers me more in life than to hear a so-called Christian cuss and swear. Boy, that just bugs me. That just bugs the living snot out of me. I mean, you know, and I know people, they call themselves Christians, that I'll tell you what, they make a sailor blush, you know, with their language. You know, it does nothing for building up the saints in the church. It tears down what is trying to be built up.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be careful what we say. You know, remember that little song we sing, "Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say." Verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." If you do not have that underlined in your Bible, I want you to underline it. Then I want you to take and write in the margin right alongside it, "Sealed till redemption." I want you to write in there, "Sealed until redemption." It says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." The Greek word used for grieve here is lopeo, which means to bring sadness or sorrow, displeasure. The very moment that we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. He is our comforter, He is our guide, He is our teacher, He is our proctor, He takes care of things for us if we'll only listen to Him. The Holy Spirit is holy and sinless. You know, we grieve or bring displeasure to the Holy Spirit by what Paul had said earlier in verses 19 to 29. By evil indulgence, uncleanliness,
yeah,
greediness, by putting on the former conversation or manner of life, deceitful lust, lying, sin not. Don't let the devil have the upper hand.
Amen.
Do not steal. Watch what we say. You know, if you want the Holy Spirit working in you, you need to be careful not to grieve Him. People say to me, "Well, you know, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit?" That was one of the questions that was asked. Was, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Evil indulgence, uncleanliness, greediness, putting off the former conversation or manner of life, deceitful lust, lying, sinning. Don't let the devil have the upper hand. Don't steal. Watch what you say. You know, all these things grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want the Holy Spirit working in you, you need to be careful not to grieve Him. You know, it's like having a very close friend who lets you down. Have you ever had a real close friend that really did something that, I mean, you just were really upset over? And you thought, you know what, I'm not even going to talk to him for a while. Have you ever done that? I have. You know, just think of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And we grieve Him. You know, when a child disappoints us and grieves us to a point where we don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. The Holy Spirit will never leave us, but His work through us is going to be hindered. After all, He wants to do a great work through us if we'll allow Him to. But by grieving Him, what we're doing is saying, you know what? I don't want you to be doing anything in my life. I'll take care of it my way. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. Not only can you grieve the Holy Spirit, but you can also quench the Holy Spirit. Two different things. Grieving and quenching. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, quench not the Spirit. The word quench here means to put out or to extinguish. The Holy Spirit is a consuming fire. Just think of the fire that you once had when you first got saved. You wanted to see everybody that you knew come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love watching new Christians who get saved and they want to see everybody in their family saved.
Amen.
They want to see grandpa and grandma saved. They want to see everybody have what they have in their life. Well, you know what? As time goes on, that fire goes out. As time goes on, the zeal that you once had no longer is there. You know, we put out the power and fire of the Holy Spirit by ignoring His leading. When the Holy Spirit shows us that God wants us to do something for Him, we had better get it done, or we are going to quench what He's trying to do. Hmm. You know, many times, the full benefit of what really could happen will not happen because the Holy Spirit is not in it. You know, so many times this happens to people. When you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles real quick to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse number 1. Or I'm sorry, verse 13. It says, wherefore, I desire that ye faint not unto the Father. Nope, that's not it. Oh, let's see. Ephesians. I'm sorry, Ephesians 1:13, not 3:1. There we go. 1:13. Here we go. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, and the gospel of your salvation, in which also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
If you don't have that underlined, I want you to underline that, and I want you to put along the margin, sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's how I got along my margin.
Good one.
When people say, well, I can lose my salvation, I take them to Ephesians chapter 1, I show them verse 13, and I say, wait a minute. It says here that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then I go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I show them there that we are sealed until the day of what?
Redemption.
You know, what a great thought that is. The very moment that we get saved, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Not only are we filled with the Holy Spirit, but He also seals us, and nothing can take our salvation away from us.
That's right.
Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that can take our salvation away. Nothing.
That's right.
Not one thing. People say, well, I can take it. I'm blaspheming the Holy Spirit. No, you can't. You already accept Him. How can you blaspheme something that's inside you?
Amen.
You know, we're sealed until the day of redemption.
That's right.
The very moment that we step foot in heaven, guess what? That's the day of our redemption. We become unsealed. Woo! But guess what? I'm at the feet of Jesus. Amen?
That's right.
You know, I don't understand why people do not want to get saved, other than Satan is blinding their eyes so bad that they can't see the truth. You know, what more of a promise do we need than that we're sealed by the third man of the Godhead, and we do not have to have the seal broken until we stand before Jesus?
Praise God.
Wow.
Amen. That's good.
You know, it's like licking an envelope. Have you ever sent a letter? They don't do that much anymore. Now they send emails. You know, you should see my computer screen. My computer screen is so bad because every time I get done with an email, I lick my computer screen. I want to make sure that it's sealed. You know what I mean?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I want to make sure that it goes to the person that's supposed to get it. So I want to take it. I want to make sure that it's sealed good. Amen? Sometimes I'll lick it twice.
So that's what I'm cleaning off every
day? Yeah, Nancy, she's getting really good at cleaning all that off for me. You know?
Terrible.
You know, think about it. You know, we've gotten away from the things that are so important to people, sending letters that are sealed.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can open up my email. But you know what? You open up a letter that's addressed to somebody else, that's a federal offense.
Amen.
You can go to jail. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know, if a person was a betting person, that would be a sure bet, going to heaven. Once you're saved, you're on your way there and you don't have to worry about it. You know, we've been sealed, and the only one that can open that seal up is God.
Yep.
Man.
That's right.
Verses 31 and 32, and then we're going to be done. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In verse 31, Paul again wants us to realize what grieves the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, wanting to get even or revenge, anger. Notice that he says not to be angry here, instead to be angry and sin not. Do not clamor. Clamor is to cry out loudly. It is someone who wants their point to be heard no matter what. It's like these rioters. Anyway, evil speaking, all malice, or put away from you all forms of evil. In verse 32, Paul tells us what we are supposed to do. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, or have pity toward those who need it. Forgive one another. You know, this is probably the hardest thing to accomplish of anything that we have to do. Forgiving one another. No matter how bad we have been hurt, we need to forgive and forget. Too many times, we'll forgive, but we don't forget. You know, I call them shelf putters. When all of a sudden you'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and you go, "Okay, I forgive you." And then when you forgive them, you take whatever they did and you put it up on a shelf. That way, a year from now, all of a sudden they'll do something wrong again, and you take that off your shelf, and you look at them and you say, "How dare you? You remember a year ago when you did that?" You know, I'll tell you what, one of the worst things I ever had to do in my entire life was sit with a couple and counsel them who had been married for 50 years. They came into my office, they had just had their 50th wedding anniversary. And they're in my office and they said, "We want a divorce." I said, "You what?" They said, we want a divorce. I said, why do you want a divorce? She says, I can't get along with him. And he says, I can't get along with her either. And I said to him, I said, well, whoa, wait a minute.
She had
to shelf. So I had to separate them. I did, I had to separate them. And I said to him, I said, what seems to be the problem? He said, she can't forget anything. And I said, what do you mean? He says, ask her about this. And I said, okay. So she came in back in and we were talking. I said, hey, I said, what happened with this? And she stood right up out of her chair and started shaking her fist at him, and he just started screaming at the top of her lungs, and don't you ever forget it! And I thought it just happened. I did. She was so explicit about the whole thing, I thought that it had just happened. And I said to him, I said, well, when did that happen? He said, 40 years ago. He says, would you like me to bring up some more? I said, no! That's plenty! She had a shelf that would go around this room three times with everything that he had ever done wrong in the 50 years that they were married. In fact, she even, believe it or not, she even knew how many times he left the toilet seat down. Or up. Yeah, left it up. I mean, this woman was amazing. And then I went and I said to her, I said, well, I said, what else? I said, this is kind of interesting. She said, do you know that every time he runs out of toilet paper, he will never change the rules? And I'm thinking to myself, keep going, this is really getting good, you know? But listen, they're shelf putters. They put things on shelves and they never will forgive and forget. We need, if you forgive, man, forget it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
You know, if I brought up everything that my wife ever did wrong in the 43 years we were married, we would be here for eternity. And you know what?
You
if
go.
She brought up just the one
there
thing I've ever
Freak
done
out.
Wrong in my entire life,
again?
We may be here for eternity too.
Yeah.
But you know, too many times we forget, where we forgive, but we don't forget. You know, God has forgiven and He has forgotten our sins for Christ's sake.
Yep. Amen.
We need to forgive and we forget. Need to forget those who have wronged us. And if we do that, I guarantee that we're going to have a whole lot better Christian life. Because there are just too many people out here that have too much hate in their heart and not enough love. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thanks for all you've done for us. Pray now.